Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast for the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Hey everyone, this is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and I'm your host. The Daily Tour Podcast brings you daily coverage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California as we ride through California from Sacramento to San Diego over the span of 9 days. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast at www.thefredcast.com and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. For your weekly audio dose of cycling news, culture, interviews, product reviews, and more, listen to the Fredcast. And for more cycling news, product reviews, original bicycling essays, and more, bookmark bicycle.net or subscribe to the RSS feeds. In addition to our Daily Tour Podcast, we'll also be bringing you several video clips each day, compliments of our friends at cyclefilm.com. You can find those clips on our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, here's today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. Welcome back to the 2009 Amgen Tour of California and the Daily Tour Podcast. Today is Sunday, February the 22nd. Today is the final stage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. And this is the first time that the Amgen Tour of California has been in this part of the state. We're down in San Diego County for a stage that will take the riders from Rancho Bernardo to Escondido. But before we get to that, let's look at where we stand as of today. The general classification, standing at the top in the yellow jersey from Team Astana in the United States of America, Levi Leipheimer, 27 hours, 39 minutes, and 2 seconds on the bike so far. In second place, also from the United States, and Garmin Slipstream, 36 seconds back, it's Dave Zabriskie. And by the way, the two of them were on the same ski team at the same school in Salt Lake City, Utah. So a little bit of rivalry going on there. In third place, Michael Rogers from Team Columbia High Road. He's 45 seconds back. In fourth, Jens Voigt from Team Saxo Bank is 110 back. 129 back. In fifth place, Thomas Lokvist from Team Columbia High Road. 146 back. From Astana in the United States, in sixth place, it's Lance Armstrong. In seventh place, Robert Gesink from Rabobank, 154 back. In eighth, Janis Brockovich, also from Astana, 159 back. Another Astana teammate, Chris Horner, is sitting in ninth place. He's 213 back. And rounding out our top 10, 2 minutes and 21 seconds back. From Team Liquigas, it's Vincenzo Nibali. Now, sitting in the Herbalife sprint jersey right now is Mark Cavendish from Team Columbia High Road, wearing the California Travel and Tourism Commission King of the Mountain jersey after the departure of Francisco Mancebo in that crash yesterday on the downhill into Pasadena, Jason McCartney from Team Saxo Bank. The best young rider, as has been throughout most of this year's Tour of California, Robert Gesink from Rabobank, and wearing the Amgen Breakaway from Cancer Most Courageous Rider jersey today is Christian Vandeveld from Team Garmin Slipstream. Now, before we get into a review of today's Stage 8, we have a couple of interviews from yesterday's Stage 7 that unfortunately didn't have time to make it into yesterday's show. The first one is a soigneur from the Garmin Slipstream team. A lot of folks have a lot of questions about what it is they do out on the road and how they feed their riders. Here's our interview with her. Standing with Alyssa as she's loading things into bags. Alyssa is a soigneur for Team Garmin Slipstream. Alyssa, tell me what you guys are doing.
We're preparing our musettes for the day. Into each musette, we put in 2 bottles of electrolyte replacement, some Clif product, and then some homemade rice cakes.
Okay, so what time did your morning start today?
Today, we were up in about 2 hours before the riders, prepping cars, so since it's a late start, we actually got to sleep in a little to 7 o'clock today.
So tell me what your day looks like from here.
From here, because of where the feed zone is placed and the fact that there are circuits, we're actually going to the finish, so we're handing the musettes to the car, so they'll feed from the car today, and we'll hand off bottles at the finishing circuit.
Normally, so you're out there on the course, you'd leave the start line, mm-hmm. and then you would head to some intermediate place on the course. What does that look like?
Well, typically we have to leave 15, 20 minutes before the start in order to get away from the crowd so that we can ensure we get to the feed zone on time. Once we're there, then we typically prepare our bags there. The riders arrive and we try and hit all 8 of them. Those that we don't hit, we put the bags in the car, and then they'll come back during the race to grab the musette. From the feed zone, we then take an alternative route to get to the finish so that we can prepare everything in the bus for arrival.
Busy day. Now, I've seen out there on the in the caravan, there's musettes on the ground. Sometimes people drop them. What does that mean for the riders when they're, you know, they're on the edge, they need that energy? What do they do?
Fortunately, all of our vehicles are stocked with a plethora of food in bottles. So if the unfortunate circumstance happens and someone misses a bag, they drop back to the car and pick something up.
Now, I've also talked to some folks who love to collect these bags. Do you know a little bit about the collecting trade?
I have been asked at every race in every part of the world for bottles, musettes, hats, any sort of memorabilia from a race.
So how do you handle that? I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people here. What do you do? You can't say yes to everybody.
Well, generally what we have in the car, our resources are pretty limited. So we hand out what we can, and to those unfortunate people who don't get them, we say, try again tomorrow.
So I've ridden with the Mavic guys in the caravan, and I don't know if you know, do you know that they play a little bit of a game on the motorcycles out there near the feed zones?
Every team plays games. It's not surprising that it's just Mavic.
Right, so they've got this game where the guy on the back of the motorcycle tries to snag as many musettes with his foot off the ground as he can.
Oh, see, now I don't get to see that part because the musettes on the ground are after us.
Right. So, and apparently, you know, there's a big competition every year to see who can snag the most musettes.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to maybe put some fake musettes out there on the road just to see if he can pick them all up.
A couple of decoys for him. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, and have a great day today.
Thank you.
Now, yesterday, once again, as I did back in 2007, I had the wonderful opportunity to ride in the technical director's car. The race technical director is Chuck Hodge for the Amgen Tour of California. Chuck really is out there in front of the caravan, making certain that everything is going right before the riders come through. And during our ride, I had the opportunity to talk to Chuck. Got interrupted a couple of times because, of course, he's working out there. But here's my interview with Chuck Hodge, the race technical director for the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Chuck, what does a technical director do?
Well, I'm responsible basically for pushing the race down the road each day, making sure we have safe and secure roads. Before the event, also work a lot with Eric Smith, our course director, on the course development and obtaining all the permissions we need to move through the state.
Okay, so you're really modest. You keep the race moving down the road. How many months in advance do you start working on this?
We're actually this week already started working on next year's event, whether that means looking at prospective routes, having new cities come and see the race this year so they have an idea of what it's about, working with different agencies to prepare for next year. And then we'll start literally next month looking at our options.
So since you're doing all that advance planning, obviously you don't live out here in California. How many trips do you make out here, and what kind of people do you meet with? How many times do you pre-ride, and is it part of your job to help figure out where the course goes?
It is part of my job. What we actually will have starting is the staff from AEG, which owns the event, in conjunction with the Medal of Sports staff. We'll talk to various cities, get a bid process going, and look at what all our options would be for starts and finishes. And what we'll do is take those cities, that large group, and try to look at the overall route we want to take through the state, see where they fit in. And that's a several-month process to narrow that down. I really get more involved once those cities are selected on development of the actual routes.
So you mentioned the bid process for cities. What does that mean? People, that's a little inside baseball, but what does that mean?
What happens is that we have a package that gets submitted out to cities who are interested. It has requirements from the race, from our side, about what they will need to provide, whether it's police services, whether it's hotel rooms, media, various items that they need to fulfill to host a stage of the race. From that, we look at how solid the bids are, who's involved, along with where we want to go in the state and pick out the cities that are the best fit for the next year.
So this year you expanded the race. There's a couple more stages. You're going down into San Diego County. How difficult is it to expand a race like this from a certain number of stages to a couple of more?
Definitely, not only is it the extra days, but if you look at our route this year, we have a lot of new cities. So cities that we've worked with, Solvang's a great example over the years, take a lot less work than a new city, a city like Santa Cruz or Davis, who are great, great hosts, but just need to learn more. We need to spend more time with them. So that on top of two additional days is really creating a lot of work for the staff this year.
Now, we're heading up here into the Angeles National Forest. There's a dusting of snow, but earlier this week we had a little bit more than a dusting. Take me through what that 24 hours leading up to actually going through the snow was like for you.
Yeah, what you never want to hear at 9 o'clock the night before a race is the road's under chain control, which is what we did here. Luckily, working with the Highway Patrol, Madera County in that case, Caltrans, the other agencies, we did have a contingency in place to go around it. We had the proper people lined up to deal with it, and they really stepped up and came through. We sent our course director, Eric, up at an ungodly hour of the morning, and he couldn't even drive up the road in his truck. And by noon, he'd give me a call and said we were clear to come through. So I really have to put kudos out to all the agencies involved with that and got it clear for us.
Okay, but you said at noon you got the clearance. What time did the stage start that day?
Yeah, we knew we were 80% good at 11 o'clock when the stage started, and had made the decision that by noon we would jump off on the alternate or not, which is about 10K shorter. And I literally made the call on the road. But we were pretty sure we were going through as planned before we got there.
So what had happened, since you were already out on the road when you got the call that it was clear, what if you had gotten the call that, hey, Chuck, it's not clear?
We had an alternate picked out. We'd already briefed with CHP and the agencies that morning, and we were ready just to make a right instead of a left and follow an alternate course for a few miles and jump back on our original route.
Okay, I got to ask you, how many radios are in this car? What are they all for?
Right now, we've got four going. We have our caravan radio, which is what we talk back and forth with amongst the staff. We're monitoring Radio Tour, which is the race information channel. I've also got an officials radio in the car, which I sometimes listen to, and a CHP radio as well.
Take me through a typical day in the life of the race technical director, because you've got so many responsibilities out here. You're sort of the colonel, if you will, doing the general's bidding out here. Take me through a day in the life of Chuck Hodge during the Amgen Tour of California.
Usually I arrive on site with or just after our start crew at the start line. And really we want someone who's been in the city before there in case there are any issues. But that crew does a great job of setting up. From that point on, it's all our functional groups coming in over the course of the morning to the area. We usually do a quick briefing with each, whether it be over a cup of coffee or a more formal meeting, and just try to get our plan for that particular day, go over things that we talked about at the beginning of the week and have forgotten, and try to get ready to go. Really, my two big focuses in the morning is the driver's meeting with all of the caravan drivers, and then I generally like to walk around, check with various staff, check with the manager, see if there are any issues, and put the race on the road. On the road, that's my biggest part of the day, is just working with the police and our officials and others in the caravan and make sure the race moves smoothly down the road. Hopefully, if it goes good, at the end of the day, I attend the race commissaire's meeting afterwards and see if there are any issues, and then take a look at what's going on for the next day and see what we need to address before we leave the town we're in.
So it doesn't sound like you get a whole lot of sleep during the tour. But now this ends. I have a feeling you've got other jobs, because I know you guys do the tour of Missouri, the tour of Georgia. Where are you going from here?
I go home for a week and relax, and then get to head out to Missouri. We have our first set of meetings with our host cities. Got some new ones, got some old ones, and we're going to take a preliminary look at a lot of the courses out there. We've already done a quick scout, and they're going to try to solidify some of the courses for the tour of Missouri.
So you certainly get a chance to see more of this race course than probably anybody else. You've been up and down it time after time after time. What's your favorite stage in this year's tour?
You know, it's a tough call this year. I really spent a lot of time working on stage 4. Eric Smith, our course director, and me split up. I sort of handled the north He handles the South. He worked a lot on the stage we're on today in the Pasadena. For me, stage four, just a beautiful stage. From the selfish end, it was great agencies to work with. The counties and others we had out there were fantastic. Beautiful scenery, and we had great racing that day. So I'm going to call that my favorite at this point, despite the fact we had to snowplow the course the morning of.
All right, we're heading up the KOM right now. We're about 5K from the top. The crowd is already pretty big. Has that been surprising to you this year?
Yeah, a little bit. I worked the Tour de Georgia, and we had Armstrong there for 2 years, so we knew that the crowd was going to increase. At the same time, it is it's nice. It's surprising and nice to see the kind of crowds we've got out here. Not only the numbers, but the enthusiasm and the fact they'd stand out in the rain all day to watch a race go by.
Okay, beyond the crowds, what's the biggest surprise you've, if anything, that you've seen this year?
You know, I can just the numbers of things we see out on the road is amazing. I think, again, going back to the enthusiasm of folks, not as much the cycling fan, but the general public, just rolling down the roads and seeing people who live along the route come out and be excited instead of giving, you know, bike race grief for closing the road, taking advantage of the situation and making it a party.
Chuck, thanks for the ride. Thanks for all the context. Thanks for lunch today.
My pleasure. We'll hopefully get to do it again next year.
Always good riding with Chuck, and I think he's a little bit modest about what he does. So just a good guy and gets a lot done to make sure that these racers have a safe race course and that the spectators have a good experience and certainly taking care of the teams and the staff. I mean, just the hundreds of rental cars involved. You can imagine what's going on at the tour, and Chuck's really on top of all of that. So again, thanks to Chuck Hodge for allowing me that awesome opportunity once again. Well, today's Stage 8 took the riders from Rancho Bernardo to Escondido in San Diego County. Total distance, 96.8 miles or 155.8 kilometers. Along the way, there's a Category 3 climb. There's a Category 4 climb. There's a Beyond category. And yes, another Category 4 climb. This is a tough race course. And this is the first Beyond category climb that the racers have had to deal with, and also taking the racers to the highest point that the Amgen Tour of California has reached this year and indeed has ever reached. Today's stage was highlighted once again by even more spectators than we have seen so far. I realize that I sound like a broken record, but the number of spectators on this course has been amazing. At the end of the day, it was announced that more than 2 million people watched this race live in person, making it not only the most watched Amgen Tour of California in its 4-year history, but simply the most attended sporting event ever in the state of California. There is no doubt that the Amgen Tour of California has arrived on the scene and that it will be here for many years to come. Now, the day began with lots of questions. Would someone challenge, especially somebody like Dave Zabriskie or perhaps Michael Rogers, would they and their teams challenge Levi Leipheimer's hold on that yellow jersey? And there were many breaks today, many of them with Jason McCartney in them as he went up ahead and up the road to try to grab those KOM points. There was even at one point where the Astana team was not able to support Levi Leipheimer, and he found himself up in the break unsupported among a couple of, well, several Saxo Bank riders, and there was some concern about whether or not Levi would indeed be able to hold on to that lead. But all of those breaks eventually broke down until finally there were just a couple of riders in the break. Frank Schleck from Team Saxo Bank, Vincenzo Nibali from Liquigas, Glenn Chadwick from Rock Racing, and Bauke Mollema from Rabobank. However, on the final KOM climb, which is the Col grade, which is short and is not anywhere near as high a category as Mount Palomar, it was steep, and that is when Schleck and Nibali pulled away from the other guys in the break, and they were managed to stay away all the way to the finish line so that At the end of the day, it was Frank Schleck from Team Saxobank taking stage 8, the final stage of the Amgen Tour of California, in a time of 3 hours, 48 minutes, and 39 seconds. Second place in today's stage going to Vincenzo Nibali from Team Liquigas. He was 2 seconds back. Then came a very large bunch, 40 seconds back, led out by George Hincapie from Team Columbia High Road, who won last year's final stage in Pasadena. He was 40 seconds back. Fourth place went to Rory Sutherland of Team Ouch, presented by Maxis. Grisha Nierman from Rabobank took fifth. Sixth place going to Chechu Ribiera from Team Astana. Seventh to Yaroslav Popovich from Team Astana. Jens Voigt from Team Saxobank in eighth. Levi Leipheimer safely in his yellow jersey, winning the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, getting his hat trick and his three-peat, whatever you want to call it, coming in ninth today from Team Astana. Rounding out our top 10, Hubert Dupont from AG2R Le Mondial. Despite Schleck and Nibali's really valiant effort to stay away from the field today, at the end of the day, it was all about one man, Levi Leipheimer, who wins the 2009 Amgen Tour of California in a time of 31 hours, 28 minutes, and 21 seconds. Dave Zabriskie from Garmin Slipstream took second place honors on the podium, 36 seconds back of Levi. Also on the podium, Michael Rogers in third place from Team Columbia High Road, 45 seconds back. Rounding out our top 10, Jens Voigt took fourth place, fifth going to Thomas Lokvist, Vincenzo Nibali, sixth place, seventh place, the man who's always in yellow, Lance Armstrong, eighth place to Robert Gesink, ninth to Thomas Danielson, and rounding out our top 10, Chechu Rubiera from Team Astana. As for the other jerseys in the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, the Amgen Breakaway from Cancer Most Courageous Riders jersey, the man who won today's stage, Frank Schleck from Team Saxobank. Winning the Best Young Rider jersey, Robert Gesink. In the California Travel and Tourism King of the Mountains Leaders jersey, Jason McCartney from Team Saxobank. And in the Sprint jersey from Herbalife from Team Columbia High Road, Mark Cavendish. As you can imagine, today's press conference featured a few more people than usual, and so it was slightly longer. We'll be presenting you their comments as we got them in order. Start off with Mark Cavendish, the winner of the green sprint jersey, about what it means to win that jersey and his impressions on the Tour of California. Right after him, Bob Stapleton with his impressions on this year's race.
That was hard, actually. I actually feel now both physically and mentally like I've just done a grand tour, actually. So it was real tough, but I think we've come out really good. We've shown we can do stuff on each stage individually and shown we can do stuff on GC, so it shows how versatile we are as a team. So.
Well, I think this could become the world's great next grand tour. You saw the crowds in the streets the last couple of days. Television audience apparently very strong. Internet interest is huge. And the athletes obviously love to come here and love to compete. So I think this event has unlimited potential, and I really think we could make a permanent major event here that represents both the United States and the state of California. I mean, there's great athletes here, but they need a great stage to perform on, and I think this event provided that. I want to thank AEG and obviously Amgen for their support in creating what I think is one of the world's top sporting events.
Now here's Michael Rogers with his impressions of today's stage, since it was the first time the Tour of California has come down to San Diego County.
Yes, obviously it was a really tough stage. That was a hard, really hard climb, and also the last climb it was short and steep. But I think as you can see, the group was down to 30 or 35 riders. There wasn't many riders, so it just goes to show and how tough the stage really was. And the crowds were just, nothing short of amazing. That's Tour de France style, certainly. A lot of people have asked me during the week, what's the Tour de France really like? And I said, there's not many more people than this. there's a handful of people here. And, it just makes the racing all that much more enjoyable for the riders, and if the riders are having a good time, I think it makes a good racing, and it's good for everybody.
Michael Rogers, the third-place overall winner, and in a moment we'll hear from the second-place overall winner, Dave Zabriskie, but first, talk to the most courageous jersey winner today, the stage winner, Frank Schleck, to tell us a little bit about how his ride went today.
Right. So Palma, that's where I attacked and then got up to Andy, and then Andy, he set really high pace, so it's just, I was almost ready to kick him off the bike because I was just really angry. I was like, if he's not going to slow down, I'm just going to throw a bottle after him. So actually, I just could stay with him in a good group. And then the last climb, that was when Nibali, he speeded up. He really speeded up, and he was going good. But then I was like, okay, then I had to. So I just kept on going, actually. But I think it was very, very hard. The whole through the whole valley, it was just so hard. It was really, really, really hard for a guy like me. I don't like the flat that much and the wind. So it was a big effort for me today, for sure. But anyway, I'm gonna rest now, and I'm just looking forward to have a nice bottle of wine tonight and some beers.
And here's the second place overall winner, Dave Zabriskie, describing today's climbs on what was described as a very tough stage.
Yeah, today we a lot of uphills. Palomar, I've done it many times before. I've driven down here with Floyd. We would actually drive to the base and then just start out, but it's a little easier getting some warm-up in beforehand. And the crowds were definitely impressive. They were tripping over each other at the top, and it was a little, I mean, you had to keep your heads up. I know they're used to it in Europe, and they get out of the way real quick, but I'm not so sure that they knew what they were dealing with, so I was trying to be a little careful. But they were having a great time, and it's nice to have them all along the course cheering, and yeah, how's that?
We then had the opportunity to hear from Johan Bernil to find out his impressions about what this means to get the team win, to get the individual win, and what it means for the team going through the rest of the season.
Very happy with this win, and was definitely our first big goal of the year. And if you can win it and have a strong team performance also with winning the team classification, that's definitely a good feeling.
And then the mic was turned over to Lance Armstrong to get his impressions not only on the race, but also how he's feeling after these 9 days of racing.
Well, I'm tired. but I was very impressed with the event. And I think I can speak on behalf of the other riders in the field, the other teams, directors, mechanics, soigneurs. Everybody enjoys the race. I think all in all, great race. Good to be back in it. I've been here once or twice, I think, in a car with Johan, but it certainly doesn't feel the same. Most of these boys came ready to go. And so you could tell that and I think some of them got better as the race went on, and perhaps our team got a little tireder as the race got on, just because we were simply always riding on the front and defending Levi's jersey. But all in all, I hats off to the organization, hats off to the state, hats off to the people for coming out. And everybody, I think I, again, can speak for everybody. We're excited to be back. And well, I think the guys are excited to be back in 2010. I'm not sure that I'll be back in 2010, but it was a hell of a good time.
Johan was then asked what his impressions are of Lance Armstrong after the Tour of California and the Tour Down Under. Is he back? How's he doing? What's his fitness? And where will he be later on down in the season? Here's what Johan had to say.
He's fit and with a lot of good races and a lot of good training, and I think it's possible to be back at a very high level. How high that level can be compared to what he was, that's still something we don't know. But I have to say it looks pretty good. And my conclusion after his first two stage races down under and here is very positive, better than I expected.
Lance's final question was about a topic near and dear to my heart. The questioner said that he had noticed that Lance was interacting with the public and his fans via Twitter, and he wanted to know, was Lance aware of any other cyclists who were using Twitter to interact with their fans? And for those of you who listen to perhaps the Fredcast or maybe the Spokesman, you know the answer to that question. I enjoyed Lance's answer. And for those of you who hate Twitter, I'm sorry, but I had to put this answer in here. It answers some questions, the first of which is a question my wife keeps asking me, which is, does Lance really do those Twitters himself? Here's Lance Armstrong.
I keep hearing about Twitter, but I've never done it. I don't know who's doing that. That's a joke. I'm kidding. It's, you know, you get these people that write in, is this really you? Like, no, the picture I just took of myself, that's not me. The Levi's doing it. So we had a little contest yesterday. I said, you know, Levi's, I'm on Twitter. He says, give me a shout out. I said, okay, I'll give you a shout out. Let's see. And then we were betting on how many followers he would get. And I said, you'll have 5,000 in 24 hours. How many did you get in 24 hours?
8,000.
So I lost the bet. I think it serves a couple of purposes. You know, from my foundation's perspective, there's a lot of stuff there's stories there that we can tell. And if we need help with something, I mean, at the end of the day, we're a nonprofit organization. You need people's help. You need them to come out and volunteer. You need them to come out and do rides. You need them to read a great article that will hopefully affect their lives. You can immediately broadcast that to hundreds of thousands of people, whoever's following. The other thing, too, is that I think in the past 10 years, perhaps our life, and I say our life, I mean the life of Johan and I, has seemed to be sort of secretive. And there's been this element of, what are those guys up to? Where are they? What are they doing? Well, I don't know. I don't think I trust them. And that's frustrating, because we were up to nothing but busting our ass and working hard and trying to win the Tour de France every year. So it came along, and some guys at the foundation said, you should try this. They all snickered because they thought I would do it for a day or two. But I think it, and I've talked a lot about transparency, and for me, although it's not, you know, having somebody drive around with you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, it's as transparent as I can be, because there's a lot of things that I can't do. I mean, I can't go over to Starbucks and sit there and have a coffee with 20 other people, although I do sometimes. I can't go down to the bar and drink beer with, you know, 100 other guys. It doesn't work. It becomes a scene. And so it's a way for me to just tell people what's going on. And I think some people see it and they think, the guy's building a Pinewood Derby car with his son? Well, that sounds awfully normal. Or he's taking his kids to the church play, or he's talking about the music he likes, or he's, hell, whatever. I put everything on there. And so people look at it and they go, guy sounds pretty normal. And this comeback, I was very clear that we would try to be open and honest and transparent. And while you can't sit down and talk with everybody, at least it gives you something that there's no way to think that anything mischievous is going on. I mean, if you talk about doping and cycling, doping and sport, the most important thing is the whereabouts. All you got to do is look at my Twitter. I mean, every hour, I tell you, you know exactly where I am. So. It's been interesting, and I'm a little depressed that Britney Spears is ahead of me, but she doesn't update hers very often. It's other people. I'm neck and neck with the New York Times, which I think is cool. But it's been good. It's been good, and Levi's on it, and other guys. George is on it. Mick Rogers asked me in the race. He's like, hey, psst, give me a shout out on Twitter. All the young guys on our U23, Johan is on it. I'm sorry. Johan's on it. Everybody's on there. And it's viral. It's cool. It gets people out. People start yelling about Twitter postings all the time. It's amazing. So it's been a good thing. And no, I do not own a piece of Twitter. Get that question a lot. I wish I did, but I don't.
And then it was really time for the man of the hour, the man who's now won 3 Amgen Tours of California in 3 consecutive years. Levi, what does it feel like now to have won 3 in a row?
I've been trying to, in my head, to think about the way to articulate it and convey the feelings I've got, and it's tough. But to win it once, that was huge. To win it twice was a little bit of a surprise, and you know, it felt like I was a little bit lucky. But now to win it three times, it's the sweetest victory of the three, and it's hard to describe. I mean, to keep a streak going like that, it just becomes so difficult. And I told Lance this week that I don't know how the hell he won seven times the Tour de France in a row. I mean, unbelievable. A lot of respect for that, because the pressure builds, the expectations are higher. I mean, you can't get second place because that's losing. And especially this race, because a lot of it depended on 1.5 hour there in Solvang and every year. And so you got to be good for that 1.5 hour, and you got to have a great team, which I did. We had the best team in the race, and there's no question about it.
As I mentioned earlier, the attendance is now reported at over 2 million people out on the race course for this week. Levi had some comments about that.
I'm a little surprised it was only 2 million. Really? The Rose Bowl yesterday, that was like Woodstock. Or no, it was bigger than Woodstock. I mean, it was unbelievable. 5K circuit, was it, Johan?
7 kilometers.
And it was just this tunnel of noise the entire way around, especially the start-finish was, you know, if Johan was talking on the radio, forget it. You can't hear anything. Sacramento, my hometown, Santa Rosa, the conditions were horrendous. I mean, I felt bad because I thought, well, maybe the turnout won't be so great. But when we got there to see thousands of people out there suffering in the rain with us, cheering us on, man, you can't let them down. It's just this awesome environment because the riders see that, the race, they put on a better race, the race is more aggressive, everybody comes with their best, their A game, and, you know, the crowds really motivate us a lot.
The three-time champion of the Amgen Tour of California was then asked, Levi, what's next for you?
I'm going to have a party and relax. That's the first thing on my mind, but there's a different role for me in the future. There's certainly more opportunities for myself, but we have such a strong team that I need to pay these guys back for the help they did. I think Alberto is very strong. We're coming up on Paris-Nice. He's won it before. I'm going there, so I'll be working for him, and then, you know, Lance and the Giro, and then when we get to July, we're going to have our best team there, and we're going to ride for the strongest rider, whether it's Lance or Alberto or whoever. So it's
Levi.
But you know, this certainly was, you know, this my race, and it was always a goal of mine. But from now on, you know, we have to wait and see.
Now, also, looking forward toward the future, JT from Bicycle.net had the opportunity to ask Johan, and Johan's final question of the evening, looking forward to the Grand Tours on paper and certainly after this race, Astana looks to be perhaps one of, if not the most powerful and strong and talented team in the peloton. What does that mean for the expectations and the pressure on the team going forward for the rest of 2009?
It's true. We have a very strong team, and I'm getting a lot of questions of about, you know, how are you going to manage all these individuals, and I think first of all, they're not always racing together, but ultimately in the Tour de France we will have the strongest possible team, and there will be a lot of pressure on our shoulders. But I don't think it will be any different. At least for me, it's not going to be any different than all the other years. I mean, with Lance in the Tour, we were the favorites and we were expected to win. And if we would have been second, it would have been a big failure. So I don't think that's going to be any different. It's going to be a little bit different that we're not going to have one sole leader. But I think it will only make us stronger. And I think it's a good problem to have. And let's not forget, you know, there's questions about, okay, who's going to be the leader? It's going to be, we have 5 riders who finish in the top 5 in the Tour de France. So one guy won it 7 times, another guy won it once, Levi was 3rd. Kloeden was 2 times 2nd, and Zubeldia finished 2 times 5th. But I think our first goal is try to win the Tour with the team. The other teams are strong. They're always stronger than you would think. I mean, at least that's our experience. Sometimes we go into a race and, you know, we feel strong and you feel confident that we're going to do this and that. And then ultimately you see that, you know, the difference between first and second or between the teams is very, very small. So we just have to take our strength of individuals to our advantage and try to win the race first against the other teams, and then ultimately try to figure out if we can win it, who's going to win it, and that's going to be the strongest rider. So it gives extra pressure, but at the same time it also gives a pretty secure feeling that if we do everything right and we ride as a team well together, that we have big chances to win.
And on that note of looking forward toward the future, we're going to end our coverage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California right here. It has been our pleasure to bring you this coverage. We do have a couple of more interviews, plus one special interview that we're working on right now, which we should have for you again in a couple of days. In the meantime, on behalf of the staff of Bicycle.net, the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, Moaned Productions, Cycle Film, and everyone that are our friends and colleagues out there on the race course, going with us on this traveling circus from Sacramento all the way down to Escondido, California. It has been a blast, and it has been our pleasure to have late nights or early mornings, depending on the way that you look at it, to be running around crazy trying to grab riders and team directors and soigneurs and technical people and everyone in between for interviews. It has been our pleasure to bring it to you. We hope that you've enjoyed the coverage, and we are looking forward to doing it for you all again next year, along with everything else that we do during the year here at the Fredcast and at Bicycle.net. So once again, for the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, for the final time, thanks so much for listening, and so long from Southern California. That's it for today's coverage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, presented by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our videos brought to you by cyclefilm.com, located at www.thefredcast.com. This is your host, David Bernstein, from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. So long from the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, and thanks for listening.